Gospel according to Matthew. When you get there, you're going to see it's a genealogy. Don't tune me out. Don't be sitting there thinking, boring, genealogy. No, hey, this genealogy here is packed full of wonderful truth. We're going to talk about it this morning, so please don't tune me out just because it's a genealogy or a family tree. This is what we're going to be talking about this morning. It's important to see that Jesus Christ has the credentials to be not only the Messiah, but also a son of Abraham, also Jewish, also the rightful king to David's throne. That's what this whole genealogy is about this morning. About 50 or more genealogies in the Bible. And you go back to Genesis chapter 5. That's got a long genealogy. Very interesting genealogy if you look at the meanings of the names back then. But again, a lot of people kind of skim over genealogies. In fact, this first chapter here has been called the neglected Christmas story. And a lot of people don't read this genealogy. They certainly don't memorize it. Most of us don't memorize it. But you have the Christmas story here in this first chapter, not just in chapter 2 and in Luke's gospel as well, but also here in this genealogy. But that's what we're going at this morning. And keep in mind, too, Matthew is speaking to a Jewish audience. Mark is speaking to a Roman audience, and then you have Luke, a Greek audience, and then you have John, which is more of a universal audience, okay, as we go through there. The first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the Synoptic Gospels. That means they're similar, okay, not exactly the same, but they're similar. And then John, of course, is very different compared to these other Gospels. But we're going to be looking at Matthew here. This morning, we're going to look at the genealogy, and keep in mind, too, that the 400 years from Malachi to Matthew, that intertestamental period, or the silent years as it's called, we don't have any record of God speaking through the prophets. We don't have any record of God speaking of any angels, anything like that going on other than a lot of these other kingdoms. You think about, you know, the Greeks, the Romans, the Medo-Persians, basically oppressing the Jewish people during that 400 years. And then all of a sudden, after that 400 years, that silence is broken. And we start talking about the coming Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah that was all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, that promise that was made to Abraham that the seed, singular seed, was going to bless all the other nations. So now we see the Messiah coming on the scene. He's going to be born around 4 BC. So please stay tuned to this because this genealogy is going to be very, very profound once you see the characters of the people in this genealogy. And it's a lot of stuff in here, and we don't want to skim over it or go through it too quickly. And also, as I go through some of these people here, especially these kings of Judah, you're going to see there's a mixture of good kings and bad kings. One very bad king, Manasseh, all right? But anyway, if you have a pencil or pen, if you want to write above these names, good or bad, that might be helpful as well. But I want to go through here first, get the context and the flow, and let you see the list of people we're going to be talking about this morning. So let's pray first, and then jump into this genealogy, all right? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you for this genealogy, Lord, that so often we just skim over, Lord, and we read through quickly, rather than stopping, Lord, to just look at these names, Lord, and see the significance of these names and the significance of this genealogy, Lord, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, Lord, his family tree. And so, Father God, as we get into your word this morning, Father God, speak to our hearts, show us application in our own lives this morning. And Father God, help me to rightly divide your word this morning. But Father God, we want to learn from your word this morning. We don't want to be just hearers of your word. We want to be obedient to it. We want to be doers of your word as well, Lord. So Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this gospel of Matthew. And Father God, we just want to say we love you. And all these things we ask your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew, the first gospel, probably the earliest. Some say written as early as the 50s A.D., some say more in the 60s, like 60 to 65 A.D. So it's probably the earliest. That's why it's first here. But let's go through here. Look at verse 1. It says, the book, or the biblios, it's where we get our word Bible from. You know, and people say, wait a minute, you know, the Trinity's not in the Bible. The word Trinity's not Bible. The concept is there, right? The word Bible is not in the Bible. But we know this book we have is the Bible, all right? So the book, or the Biblios, of the genealogy, or the Genesis, or the origin of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the son of David, shows his kingly line here, and then the son of Abraham shows his Jewishness as well. Look at verse 2. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her, talking about Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. Verse 7, Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah. And Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. And Joram begot Uzziah. Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham is good. Jotham begot Ahaz. Bad. Ahaz was bad. And Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Good. Probably the best of the kings. Hey, do me a favor. Back up here for a second to verse 7. Where it says Rehoboam, he's a bad king, all right? You can write bad above him. Abijah was bad. Asa was a good king. Again, Jehoshaphat is a good king. Joram's a bad king. And Uzziah is a good king. So I just want to make sure we didn't forget that. And look back at verse 9 here. Uzziah begot Jotham, who was a good king. Jotham begot Ahaz, a bad king. And Ahaz begot Hezekiah, probably the best. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. This guy was bad to the bone. But he did repent later on. But he was still really, really bad. He did a lot of bad things. Idolatry, putting innocent people to death, just a whole bunch of stuff. Do your homework on that, but he did repent. Manasseh begot Amon, bad. And Amon begot Josiah, good. Josiah, he was a godly king, became king at 8 years old. Very godly king. In fact, he's the one that he brought back reforms to Israel after they had come back. He brought back reforms. He went ahead and showed the importance of God's word again, read God's word to all the people. Josiah was a very, very good king, but a very young king at 8 years of age. So Josiah begot Jeconiah. Jeconiah is bad. He's also known as Coniah or Jehoiakim. Same guy, but a very bad king. So Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon to exile. And after they were brought to Babylon, verse 12, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel. Remember, Zerubbabel came back as a governor. You know, they were rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. So Zerubbabel begot Abiud. Abiud begot Eliakim, and Eliakim begot Azor. Verse 14, Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Achim, and Achim begot Eliud. Eliud begot Eleazar. Eleazar begot Mathan, and Mathan begot Jacob. In verse 16, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary. We see this line here with Joseph. It's the legal line of Jesus. You go to Luke chapter 3, you'll see a genealogy of Jesus Christ, and that's where we see the royal line, or the bloodline, if you will, of Jesus. Now, Jeconiah, he was bypassed. God put a curse on Jeconiah. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 22. And God had told that Jeconiah wouldn't have any descendants sitting on David's throne. So what do you do since you have Joseph's side of the genealogy here coming from David through Jeconiah to Jesus? So what do you do? Well, Jesus was born of a virgin, right? He didn't have Jeconiah's blood passed on to him. He didn't have the curse of Jeconiah passed on to him. You go to that genealogy, Mary's genealogy. And Mary's genealogy goes through one of David's sons named Nathan. And then on down to Mary. And so Jesus is the physical descendant of Mary, of course conceived by the Holy Spirit. But he didn't have that curse passed on to him because her bloodline was from Nathan, David's other son, on down to Mary. So Jeconiah was left out of that whole equation. Joseph is Jesus' earthly father, not biological, but earthly father. And of course, Mary was Jesus' mother, but conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's how you get past the whole curse of Jeconiah. Okay, you go back to Mary's genealogy, and you see Mary's genealogy, which talks about Jesus' physical birth. But Joseph's was more of a legal line, which means that it showed Jesus had legal right to the throne of David. But he didn't have that physical or bloodline through Jeconiah and Joseph. He had his bloodline through Mary, Nathan, down through Mary. Did that make sense? It can get confusing. Joseph, again, was Jesus' adoptive father. So, Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. Again, Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah. It was their long-awaited Messiah. And Andrew read Isaiah 53. The Jews cannot wrap their arms around Isaiah 53 because in their mind, their Messiah was not going to be crucified. Their Messiah was not going to suffer and be put to death. That's why they have never embraced Jesus Christ as their Messiah. In fact, a lot of the Jews believe there was two Messiahs that were going to come. But the credentials we see here in this genealogy, it shows Jesus' credential to be the long-awaited Messiah, to be the King of Kings, the King of Israel, the long-awaited Messiah, and the King of Israel. That shows his credentials. Son of David, a messianic term. Son of Abraham shows his Jewishness. And you got other titles we see all through Scripture about Jesus. The Son of Man, used over 80 times, another messianic title for Jesus Christ. This genealogy here is not just a genealogy. It's not just a list of names that we hurry through and rush over. It gives Jesus credentials to be the Messiah, to sit on David's throne. Very important. So that's why we go through this genealogy here. It's Jesus' credentials. It's his family tree. So, all the generations, verse 17, from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity of Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Three different time periods. You start off with a patriarchal period. You have that kingly period. Then you have the exile period. It says 14 generations in each period. Some generations were skipped. And that was common back then in the ancient Near East. They would skip certain generations. They would only put the most prominent names in those genealogies. And also, the way it was structured here with 14 generations, it made for a neat memory device. So they could memorize this genealogy. This genealogy was used as an apologetic to attest to Jesus' credentials. So it was divided up like that so it would be easy to remember. Okay, remember, back then in Jesus' time, even before Jesus' time, they didn't have access to a lot of writing utensils and paper like we do today, and certainly didn't have a laptop or anything, all right? So a lot of what they knew, they memorized. It was an oral tradition. Can you imagine? A lot of those folks, especially the rabbis, especially the Pharisees, they were memorizing at least the first five books of the Bible. The children were memorizing entire books. Don't ever tell me you can't memorize Scripture. If you can remember who won the World Series back in 1922 and who had the highest batting average back then, you can memorize Scripture. It's how important Scripture is to us, whether we memorize it or not. And I'm telling you, folks, we need to hide it in our hearts. What happens if we have our Bibles confiscated? We need to hide His Word in our hearts. David talks about, you know, I've hidden your word in my heart so I don't sin against you. Because we have our minds saturated with Scripture. Anytime we're getting tempted to do something, we'll have Scripture in our minds. We'll have the Holy Spirit speaking to us, bringing to remembrance those Scriptures, saying, don't do it. Scripture is very important. But we spend so little time reading it, so little time meditating on it, so little time memorizing it. But it was more of an oral tradition back then, and they memorized. So this made these 14 generations in three parts made it easy for memorization. Okay? And it's divided up like that. And like I said, a lot of those names have been omitted. The most prominent names are the ones that are included here in this genealogy. Genealogies were very, very important back then because it told what family you came from. It had everything to do with what you inherited. It had everything to do with if you were going to fulfill a certain office, like as a priest, you had to be from the Levitical priesthood and the family line of Aaron. I mean, genealogies were huge. Huge back then. And most of your genealogies, if they weren't memorized, they were kept in the temple. Remember, the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, which means those records were destroyed as well. The Jews can't even tell their genealogies today because those records were destroyed. They were very, very important. Genealogies were very, very important. And they're still important today because here in Matthew 1 and Luke 3, we have Jesus' credentials, and you can take people here to show them the family tree. Every single one of us have a family tree, right? Truth be told, any one of us sitting in here, you don't have a perfect family tree. Every one of us sitting in here, I guarantee you, if we shook that family tree, your family tree, my family trees, whoever, you're going to have some lemons fall out of there, some nuts fall out of there. We'd have all kinds of people falling out of those family trees. But every single one of us, we have people in our family trees we probably wouldn't want to know about, truth be told, all right? But here, even in this family tree of Jesus, you've got an assortment of characters, good people, bad people. Another thing about this genealogy, there's five women that are mentioned, okay? Four of them, very questionable, and then you have Mary, okay? Even Mary, her pregnancy was questionable as well. Because remember, they used to make fun of Jesus, the Pharisees. They alluded to the fact that said, hey, you were probably born of fornication. You know, so even Mary was questionable in that respect. But you have some other women in this genealogy who are very, very questionable. In fact, in genealogies back then, you didn't have women in the genealogies. See, Jesus elevates women. He doesn't hold women down. He elevates women. Jesus loves women. We see in this genealogy here, there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. Okay? The gospel's open to everybody. Jesus embraces anybody who's willing to put their faith and trust in Him and receive Him as their Lord and Savior. So I don't care if you have a bad family tree, just because you had a bad uncle, a notorious uncle, just because people talk about generational curses. Hey, by the way, the Bible teaches nothing about generational curses. You can read some of the scriptures and read into it what you want to and just say, well, it's not a generational curse. You're not held responsible for something one of your family members did 500 years ago. They're responsible for their own sins. We're responsible for our own sins. Now, there are consequences to our sins, huge consequences to our sin. When you think about Jeconiah and the wickedness that he did, the evil that he did, there were consequences. None of his family, he and none of his family members, would ever sit on the Davidic throne. God made that perfectly clear. And when we sin, there's consequences. You don't believe it? Let me tell you what, guys, you go out and you cheat on your wife, it's not just between you and your wife. Those children are affected. Your parents are affected. Your grandparents are affected. Your family, your friends are affected. Your church family is affected. The community is affected. You tell me that it doesn't affect anybody. Our consequences have huge ramifications. We don't sin in a vacuum. Our sin affects other people. We need to remember that. But no matter what your family members have done from days gone by, we're responsible for our own actions. We're responsible to receive or reject Jesus Christ. Just because Billy Graham is your dad doesn't mean you're automatically a Christian. Just because you're born in America doesn't mean you're automatically a Christian. A lot of people think, well, I was born in America, so I'm a Christian. No. Let me even bring it closer to Jesus. Just because a person is Jewish, they're not automatically saved. They have to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as well. But because we've got some bad apples in our family tree, doesn't mean that God's going to judge us based on those bad apples. We have to individually receive his son, Jesus Christ. And one thing we see in this whole genealogy here is God's grace. And I'll tell you why. Because four of these women here were women you would never expect to see in a Jewish genealogy. Okay, let's go through here. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Verse 3, Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Remember Judah's two sons that married Tamar? Well, the first one married Tamar, he died. So the second one married Tamar, he died. And then Judah says, well, my other son's too young to, he's not of marrying age right now, but when he gets old enough, you can marry him. Well, Judah didn't honor his promise. So Tamar dresses up as a prostitute, has relations with Judah. Judah doesn't know it's Tamar. Gets pregnant, has these two sons here, Perez and Zerah, twins. And by the way, Judah didn't have his money with him at that time to pay her off. So he says, look, I'll give you my signet ring and my staff. Some of your translations might say my belt. And hold on to these until I go back and get my credit card or whatever. Later on, Judah gets word that his daughter-in-law is pregnant. So what does Judah want to do? He wanted to what? Burn her. And Judah talked to Tamar and said, you know, who is it that's gotten you pregnant? And she said, the owner of these things here, and hands back the staff, hands back the signet ring, and Judah knows he's busted. Tamar, that illicit affair, so she's not a very honorable woman in this genealogy. So Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Another questionable, Rahab the harlot, Jericho. Remember that whole story? Hiding the two spies? By Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. A Moabitess. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, the king. David, the king, begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah the Hittite. She had committed adultery with David. These questionable women, or with a checkered past, are in this genealogy of Jesus Christ. Can't you see God's grace in this family tree of Jesus? And he's willing to embrace anybody else who's willing to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what you've done or how bad you've screwed up. A lot of people today feel like God will never accept me because of my past life and what I've done. My gosh, he accepted Paul. Paul was killing Christians. Moses was a murderer. David was a murderer and an adulterer. But David's heart was to follow God. I don't care how bad your life or my life has been. If we're willing to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he will forgive everything that we've done. People talk about the unforgivable sin, unpardonable sin. The only thing he's not going to forgive today is rejection of his son, Jesus Christ. Unbelief and not receiving his son, Jesus Christ. But he will forgive every other sin. I don't care how bad you've sinned in the past. There's maybe consequences to that sin, but God will forgive those sins. That's what I love about this genealogy here. It's a genealogy of grace. It's a genealogy of grace. And it starts out here from Abraham all the way down till you get to Jesus. If you go to Mary's genealogy, it goes all the way back to Adam with a whole bunch of different names in there. But the great thing, again, about Mary's genealogy is you have Nathan in there. And that bypasses Jeconiah. God had all this planned out. And that's what Matthew wants us to see, is Jesus' credentials here. That Jesus meets all those requirements to be the Messiah, to sit on David's throne. He meets them all. And this genealogy is written by whom? Matthew, whose other name was Levi. And what was Matthew? A tax collector, a publican, right? Not even a Republican, a publican. And he worked for the IRS. The publicans, the tax collectors, were despised by the Jewish people because they were working for the Romans, collecting taxes for the Romans. They normally collect more than was required, and they'd keep what was left over. And they got very rich collecting taxes. Think about Zacchaeus. He just wanted a glimpse of Jesus. So he, you know, I think about Danny DeVito when I think about Zacchaeus, all right? Little bitty, itty bitty tax collector, right? Climbs up in that sycamore tree to get a glimpse of Jesus. That day, he was converted. And remember what Zacchaeus said? You know, that, Lord, I'm going to give my possessions away. I'm going to give back fourfold of what I've taken from people in taxes, which means he was very wealthy. The tax collectors got very wealthy. And a lot of the Jews would put out hits on these tax collectors. They'd get the Zakari, who were basically assassins with daggers. They were called the Daggermen, the Zakari, to kill these tax collectors. And who's one of the 12 disciples that Jesus has in his group here? A tax collector that's hated. Can you imagine Simon the Zealot in that same group with this tax collector? What was that like? What did the other disciples, the other apostles, think about Matthew? You know, did it ever cross their minds, let's take him out now? I mean, we got him right here. But Jesus will use the most unlikely of people to do his work, to take the Great Commission to the rest of the world. And Matthew was one of those. If you look at all 12 of these disciples, they were knuckleheads. They were. Peter, foot and mouth disease. Right? Athlete's tongue. You know, impetuous Peter, ready, fire, aim. Right? That was him. And look at all the other disciples he had. You know, arguing about, you know, who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And speaking of the kingdom, you'll see Matthew mentioning the kingdom of heaven numerous times through here. I think he only mentioned, or the kingdom of God, maybe three or four times, because back then the Jews never wanted to say kingdom of God, because of wanting to reverence God's name. So they would say kingdom of heaven. The other gospels talk about the kingdom of God. But Matthew is to primarily a Jewish audience. And the Jews hated tax collectors. They hated them. They were despised. You know, when you have a chain of who are the most despised, you know, the Jews hated Samaritans. The Jews hated Gentiles. The Jews wouldn't dine with Gentiles, wouldn't even walk on the same side of the street. They hated Gentiles. They said the Gentiles were to be used as firewood to fan the flames of hell. And they certainly didn't have a lot of regard for women. That's what I love about this genealogy here. You've got women in this genealogy and some questionable women. But a prayer, one of the prayers that a Jewish man would pray in the morning is, Lord, I thank you that I wasn't born a Gentile or a woman. Jesus esteemed, lifted up, edified women. And they're in his genealogy here. That's what I love about this genealogy. And next week we're going to get into the birth of Jesus. But we had to look at his credentials first, because Matthew puts this first, because there's not going to be any question about Jesus' credentials. And to be used as an apologetic to other Jews that, yes, Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. Here's his credentials. Here's his family tree. So never feel like just because you've got some questionable characters in your family tree that God can't forgive you, that you've got some generational curse. It drives me nuts. There's still people, there's still churches out there that teach about generational curses. No, we're responsible for our own sin, not something Uncle Albert did 50 years ago. And every single one of us have got some lemons and some nuts and some other people in our family tree. But, we have Jesus. And that makes all the difference in the world, no matter what background we've come from, no matter how badly we've sinned, we've got Jesus. And that makes all the difference in the world. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. If there's one thing that I want you to remember when you leave out of here this morning, is this whole genealogy is a genealogy of grace. and not to ever skip over genealogies. Take your time to go through them slowly and study them. And again, like I said, there's at least 50 genealogies in the Bible. But this one here is important. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for this genealogy this morning. Father God, the family tree of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we're in that family tree this morning because we've received Jesus Christ. We've been adopted into your family. And we thank you for that, Lord. Father, we thank you that you can forgive anyone, no matter how badly we've sinned, Lord, that you can forgive anybody, Lord. And we thank you for that. And Father God, we thank you that Jesus Christ is our Messiah. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And Father God, we look forward to getting to the rest of the book of Matthew in these upcoming weeks and months. But Father God, help us leave out here today with a renewed appreciation that we're in God's family. And he'll never kick us out. He'll never take away our salvation. We have an inheritance in heaven that's reserved for us. And Father, we just want to thank you for that. And Father God, I thank you for my family here this morning. Father God, bless them this week. And we just want to say we love you. And all these things we ask your son, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.